Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is my joy to be able, at least through this audio recording, to be able to minister to you the Word of God. And so what I want to do very firstly, of course, is read to you the Word of God. And I'm going to read to you the words of our Lord Jesus from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Again, this is the words of our Lord from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. This is what Jesus tells us. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look, the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Pandemic, crashing markets, quarantine, self-isolation, plummeting 401ks. These are just a few of the words and phrases that have become commonplace in our speech over the last few weeks. In a very real sense, COVID-19 has captured the attention of the world. The result? Well, at least now we can scarcely turn on the television without hearing about it. Shelves, and in some cases, entire aisles at grocery stores are empty. Playgrounds have caution tape around them. Parking lots, once bustling with consumers, are vacant. And hospitals, well, they are packed. If we are honest, this is all quite ominous. If we are really honest, this is all a source of consternation, a geyser from which springs forth the waters of anxiety and worry. This is why, even though I can't see you and you can't see me, this is why I want us to turn our attention to the words of our Lord Jesus. Why? Because these words, though they certainly rebuff us and challenge us, they also offer us hope. As the Holy Spirit applies them to our souls, I trust these words of Jesus will grant clarity, compassion, courage, and conviction. So what are these words? What is Jesus telling us? Lest we miss the forest for the trees, what is Jesus getting at here in this portion of Scripture? Well, what bookends this teaching of Jesus are these words. There's four of them. Are you ready? Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. I trust you have your Bible in front of you, and if you do, look, you'll see those words there at the beginning in verse 25, right? Do not be anxious. And then at the end, down in verse 34, you see them again. Do not be anxious. So that's what Jesus is aiming at. That is what he wants us to wrestle with. As his disciples, we are not supposed to be those who, to use Jesus' words, we're not supposed to be those who are anxious. worry, concern, again, anxiety, the mental gymnastics we do, the way that our stomachs get knots in them, the loss of sleep, the perpetual fear. Jesus says, that's not supposed to be you. Instead of concern, the follower of Christ should have confidence. The follower of Christ should have certainty. Beloved, please hear me. With the onslaught of this coronavirus, we, of all people, disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be those who are not anxious, but assured. I mean, think about this. If Jesus, verse 25, if Jesus wouldn't have us to be worried about food and drink and clothing, you know, the basics, the essentials of life, things we can't live without, if Jesus wouldn't have us worried about those things, then surely he wouldn't have us to be worried about this bug, right? Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean we don't wash our hands. It doesn't mean we don't stay home and stay healthy, to quote Governor Inslee. None of this means that we are careless or not prudent or just throw caution to the wind. Not at all. But it most certainly does mean that fear and anxiety and worry, they ought not to have a stranglehold on us. If Jesus promises to take care of our food and our drink and our clothing, then you'd better believe he will take care of everything else. That's the point. Now, to drive this truth home, Jesus then invites his listeners to look around, to open their eyes, to get their faces out of their smartphones and off of the nightly news and away from all those blog posts about the newest way to defeat this virus. Jesus says, in effect, enough of that. Instead, look around. Look around. What do you see? Specifically, Jesus invites his hearers, he invites us, to fix our eyes on three things. First, Jesus says, fix your eyes on the seagulls. On the seagulls. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet, Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. These critters, these seagulls, they don't have much in terms of a stock portfolio. Their pantry is, well, non-existent. And yet, they do not miss a meal. Why? Because, and notice Jesus' careful words here, your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus doesn't say their heavenly Father, but your heavenly Father. The point? If God, your God, is concerned to feed, to take care of these silly seagulls, will your heavenly Father not also meet your needs? Of course he will. Look out your windows, beloved. Really, I mean it. Turn around, look out your windows right now. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? Perhaps you can even see some birds right now. And you know what? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. The Lord, he meets the needs even of seagulls. Will he not do the same for you? After all, as Jesus says there at the end of verse 26, are you not of more value than they? Jesus isn't done, though. He shifts gears. Now, no longer gaze up. Now, Jesus would say, well, look down. Fix your eyes now, not upon the seagulls, but upon the dandelions. The dandelions. Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider, Jesus says, the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 29. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. despite all the chaos revolving around the coronavirus. Have you noticed anything about the time of year that is upon us? I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to do it again here. It's beautiful outside. The sun is shining. It's in the 60s. Many of you have no doubt already begun your yard work. I know that at our home, the grass is growing, that the trees are now beginning to get those little green shoots on them. We've even got a couple of those flowering type bushes and shrubs, and they are already showing signs of life by displaying their glorious colors. And so our Lord Jesus, he invites us to contemplate such things. I mean, just think with me for a moment. The dandelions, right? Those cursed wannabe flowers that plague every lawn. How much work are they putting in? How much sweat is the dandelion sweating? What sort of anxiety do you think the dandelion is experiencing right now? And of course, that is Jesus's point, isn't it? They grow and they sprout and they exist and they are taken care of all because of the Lord, right? All the beautiful colors of the rainbow, they are seen as we look out into our lawns and our flower pots, and they are more splendid than even Solomon when he was decked out in his kingly garb. And so, as your eyes are fixed upon the colors you see outside, lend your ear to the words of Jesus. Listen to the connection that he makes. But, verse 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Don't miss the not-so-subtle rebuke there from our Lord. These dandelions, these flower pots, these beautiful, colorful tapestries, God puts all of that together. And he does all of that work so that at the end of the season, what? It will all just die off. All of that work for just a couple of months. So Jesus says, will the Lord not take care of you if he is so willing to take care of and clothe these silly dandelions in that brilliant yellow? Answer, of course he will. And then comes the jab. O you of little faith. This jab, it's like the punchline, isn't it? Fix your eyes on the seagulls. Fix your eyes on the dandelions. See how your heavenly Father cares for them and provides for them. Do you really think, beloved, for a moment, that God cares less about you than some critters and some agriculture? Shudder the thought. Do you realize that by virtue of creation, we are the pinnacle of God's handiwork? Unlike seagulls and unlike dandelions, you and I, we are made uniquely in the image of the triune God. And then, by virtue of redemption, we are trophies of God's grace. Unlike seagulls and unlike dandelions, we and we alone have been purchased with the shed blood of God's only Son. Therefore, given the weight of this reality, verse 31, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Building on Jesus' words. Do not be worried about or consumed by or given over to anxiety when it comes to your health, your 401k, your toilet paper supply. All you need to do is look out of the window. And there you will see the sustaining hand of your Heavenly Father at work, teaching you and I the lesson that God will feed us, that God will clothe us, that God will take care of us. So fix your eyes on the seagulls. Fix your eyes on the dandelions. But most importantly, fix your eyes on the kingdom. The kingdom. Verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What is Jesus directing us to here? What is he saying to the church? Simply this. If you and I are going to be consumed with anything, if there is anything that we are supposed to be going all in on, it's not us. It's not stocking our shelves. It's not hoarding. It's not fear. It's not Fox News or CNN. It's not diversifying our portfolios. It's not rubber gloves or hazmat suits. It is to be the kingdom of God. If I can use this word this way, if we are going to be quote unquote anxious over anything or about anything, then it should be the kingdom of God. Put your focus there. Think about that. Seek it. If you're like me, you've spent the last couple of weeks reading article after article, right? With every passing hour, there seems to be more news, right? We have another outbreak of the virus has cropped up over here, or this remedy has been tried and it might work over there. At one end of the spectrum, we hear, it's the end of the world as we know it. On the other end, well, it's all just a hoax and nothing really to worry about. Just wash your hands. Brothers and sisters, be informed, yes, but don't be consumed. Don't be consumed with this. Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is to be our overarching passion. Our zeal should be chiefly devoted to Christ, to his kingdom, to his will, to his ways. That is to be the heartbeat of our lives. You want to know a telltale sign of you and I going sideways here? Here's a telltale sign of you and I not just being informed, but being consumed. Here it is. What's the first thing your mind goes to when you wake up? Or when you have free time, right? What are you drawn toward? What is it that you are spending all of your waking hours talking about? Let me frame it this way. What have you been reading more of lately? Your Bible or your newsfeed? My friends, if the first thing we grab when the alarm goes off in the morning is our phone to check Google rather than our Bibles to commune with the Lord, then we've got a problem. We've got a problem. So I want to encourage you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue Christ. Give yourself to trusting him and treasuring him. Strive to walk in obedience to the Lord. Serve those who are around you. Meditate upon the cross and the assurance and the confidence that you have because of that bloody cross. Just as Paul would exhort the Colossians, so I exhort you. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Beloved, of all of the things that would seek to capture our attention in these days, let the kingdom of God, the cross of Christ, the glory of the gospel, the promise of the future, let that be what captivates our thoughts and our hopes and our ambitions and our imaginations. Anything less, and our anxiety might very well quickly morph into idolatry. So allow me then, with our eyes fixed where they should be, on Christ and his gospel and his kingdom, allow me to offer three concluding encouragements. Three encouragements that, as you are about to see, rise directly from the text that is in front of us. First, your value. Given these times of uncertainty and in some cases upheaval, let us hear afresh what Christ says about our value. End of verse 26. Here is the Lord Jesus speaking about the seagulls. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not of more value than they? Dear anxious brother and sister, God the Father takes care of critters, even seagulls. Will he not take care of us? Of course he will. Why? Because in God's sight, we are of more value than mere birds. Second encouragement, your needs. Your needs. Verse 32. For the Gentiles, we are told, seek after all these things. All these things in the context is food, drink, clothing, right? For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, they seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I want to encourage you this morning, beloved, by reminding you that our heavenly Father is intimately acquainted with us, our world, our needs, all that is taking place. You see, unbelievers, they are spending their time right now in desperation. They are frantic. Not us. We have no need to be. Why? Because our Father, our Creator and our Redeemer in Christ, he knows all of our needs. And we should be quick also to remind ourselves in these trying times, if he has already met our greatest need, right? The covering of our sin, the imputation of Christ's righteousness, then surely God will meet these other less important needs, right? Or if you allow me to say it just a little bit differently, don't think for a moment that you care more about yourself or your loved ones than God does. Don't make that mistake. Be encouraged. He knows our needs. We can trust him to provide for our needs. Third and final encouragement, your anxiety. Your anxiety. Listen to Jesus' words that are found there in verse 27. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, which of you can extend your life by being worried about your life? And the answer, of course, is none of us. In fact, what we now know is that anxiety, worry, it actually doesn't just not extend our life, it shortens it, right? Worrying puts people in an early grave. So to return again to Jesus' words at the beginning in verse 25, and then those same words at the end in verse 34, we hear Jesus tell us, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. And if you were to say, fair enough, but how? Right? How do we overcome anxiety in light of this virus? How do we, in these times, how do we fight fear with faith? Well, I invite you to look up. Look up at the birds and see how our Heavenly Father cares for them. Then, look down. Look down at the dandelions and their beauty and how our Heavenly Father clothes them. And then, look at Christ. Fix your eyes on Him. Fix your eyes on our Savior. As you do, as you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus, see His power. His power. Power as He calms storms, as He feeds the masses, as He heals those who are sick. Also, see His righteousness. His righteousness. Righteousness as He obeys the law of God, as He does what Adam and Israel and you and I have all failed to do. For Jesus, He only ever pleases His Father in all that He does. Brothers and sisters, as you fix your eyes on Jesus, see His power, see His righteousness, and also make sure you see His mercy. Mercy! Mercy as He welcomes sinners to Himself, as He graces them and forgives them. Behold His mercy. And then finally, don't miss seeing His love. His love. Love as He bleeds and dies there at Golgotha. His love as He bears the wrath of God in your stead. Love as He triumphs victoriously over death and over sin and over Satan and over hell as He emerges from the tomb on the third day. See His love, dear brothers and sisters. So I want to encourage you. Until you and I see one another face to face, until we see Christ face to face, I want to encourage you to fight fear and anxiety with faith and assurance. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Fix your gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters.